Penguin Random House Audio presents In the Shadow of Liberty, The Invisible History of Immigrant Detention in the United States by Ana Raquel Mignon. Read for you by Victor Colomay, Cynthia Farrell, Rebecca Gibble, Sheldon Romero, David Shee, and Marie-Francois Theodore. To my parents for their love and support. And to Chi Hao, Ellen, Gerardo, Fernando, and all the other migrants who shared their stories in the hope that others don't have to endure the horrors of detention. Preface. The cement floor was cold, and loud sobs echoed throughout the room. But that night, Fernando Arredondo was too tired and shell-shocked to let much bother him. Ignoring his surroundings, he wrapped his gray sweatshirt tightly around his chest as if he were an infant draped in a warm blanket, pulled the hoodie over his head, and fell asleep on the floor. He had not gotten much sleep the night before, or during the past year, for that matter. It was back then, in the spring of 2017, that his troubles had begun. That was when he and his family, or at least those who had survived, had fled their home near Guatemala City after being targeted by gang members. But now, Fernando thought, he and his 12-year-old daughter, Andrea, were at last safe. Earlier that day, the two of them had finally crossed the U.S.-Mexico border and pleaded asylum at the Laredo Processing Center on the bank of the Rio Grande in South Texas. The paperwork had been endless and the officials derisive. They had forced Fernando to strip down to his underwear and then searched him. They had demanded that he dispose of his shoelaces. And worst of all, they had taken Andrea to sleep in the children's section of the immigration station, despite her pleadings and fear. Fernando had complained but had been powerless to stop it. All he could do was wait to be reunited with her the following day. And so it was that Fernando found himself uneasily asleep in a locked room alongside more than a dozen other adult refugees. Rest was not in the cards, however. At around 4 a.m., ear-splitting screams stirred him from his slumber. "They are taking the kids! They are taking the kids!" a woman was yelling. Fernando jumped up from the floor and rushed to the door, which had a little window that looked out onto the station's quarters. Cramming himself against the other refugees, he could glimpse children being lined up and herded toward the building's exit. Andrea was in that line. So was a toddler who could barely stand by herself. The shrieks inside the locked room became louder. Parents banged on the door, on the walls, demanding to be with their children. "What's happening? Where are you taking our kids?" More banging, more screaming. No response. No one came to provide an explanation. And they couldn't escape, no matter how hard they pounded on the door. Trapped in that room, the parents saw their children leave the building one by one. A woman sobbed desperately. "My baby! My baby!" she yelled. "Where did you take her? Brutes!" Her sequestered daughter, who had made the long journey with her from Honduras, was not even 2 years old. Still, no one came. In the last days of June 2018, in what was turning out to be an unusually hot summer, thousands of Americans stepped outside to attend one of the more than 700 demonstrations that erupted throughout the country to protest the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy that was separating children from their parents while in detention. The marches took place in both liberal cities like Los Angeles and New York, and conservative strongholds like Appalachia and Wyoming. Zero tolerance was one of Trump's most unpopular policies. Only one quarter of Americans supported it. Even a politically divided country, it seemed, could agree that Trump's family separation policy had gone too far. But though hundreds of reporters descended outside the gates of the nation's detention centers, their cameras failed to capture what lay just beyond their frame. They didn't reveal that family separation constituted only one aspect of a much broader and more insidious issue, one that has been an affront to America's most fundamental democratic principles for more than a century. Individuals detained without trial, caged without explanation and without having been accused of committing any crimes, denied basic constitutional rights, unaware of when they will be released or if they will be released at all, subjected to beatings and other torture. Americans have long pinned these abuses to far-off regimes and distant times: Nazi Germany, Pinochet's Chile, the Soviet Union. They do not happen here. If our leadership perpetrates these acts, we have believed, it does so for profoundly specific reasons and in marginal spaces outside the country, in legal black sites like Guantanamo Bay, a so-called island outside the law where terrorist suspects have been detained with limited access to rights. In reality, however, Guantanamo-like facilities have arisen in towns and cities across America since the 19th century. Every day, in the heart of the self-described greatest democracy on earth, people are incarcerated without charges for indefinite periods of time, under horrific conditions, and without basic constitutional protections. This is the hidden world of immigrant detention centers. To understand how America came to be crisscrossed by a vast network of facilities where people are detained without basic rights, we have to look back almost 150 years to when Congress passed legislation that spawned what is now known as the entry fiction. According to this doctrine, migrants stopped at the border are legally considered to be outside the country. When these entrants are detained in the United States, while the government decides their fate, they are treated as if they are not here. This is the case whether the detention centers are near the border or deep within the country. The detention centers exist on the U.S. map, but the entrants within them are presumed to be held outside the nation. Since they are not here, detainees are not guaranteed basic constitutional protections, even when subjected to the laws and forces of the state. This fiction continues to dictate conditions for asylum seekers and migrants stopped at the border to this day. Not all migrants caged in detention centers have been classified as entrants lacking rights. Unauthorized migrants who evade apprehension at the border and are only later detained, for example, those caught living without papers in Los Angeles, hold a different legal status. They are considered to have entered the nation, and as such are accorded constitutional rights. Even these migrants, however, are caged in spaces originally conceived as sites where rights can be flouted. Abuse is built deep into the bedrock of detention centers. Nowadays, federal statutes and regulations are supposed to guarantee at least baseline protections against inhumane conditions in immigrant detention facilities. Nonetheless, detained migrants have regularly been subjected to sexual and physical abuse from guards, forced to sleep outside in the snow or without airflow in sweltering heat, denied medical attention, and, as we know, torn from their children, who are caged elsewhere. Much of this torture is by design. Since the 1980s, the U.S. government has used the threat of detention to deter potential migrants from attempting to come into the country. Detention centers are purposely made to be horrid under the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?